Jill, good morning. Shabbat Shalom, Jill. Happy to see you here.
Yes. Hello, Felipe and Jill. Good morning. It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. We got some fruit trees recently, and I did not realize that the squirrels love to get the fruit even when it's not ripe. So barely have any fruit left, but I'm trying to figure out how to keep them at bay. So that'll a little game we're playing right now. If you have any ideas, I'm all ears.
I haven't heard about it. It's the first time that I hear about it. Thank you for sharing it. So they just squirrels like around the garden, just having fun in the garden?
Yes, having fun is right. They, it's funny, one of them was so excited about the peach tree that it looked like it started to dance and kind of throw dirt in the air. And it was funny. Seems like it was just more excited than it's ever been. And the tree is small, so it's doesn't hold him very well. So he'll try to get on it and then it'll kind of fall over and then he'll jump out. It's kind of funny. If I didn't actually want my fruit, it would be entertaining. But I want the fruit to grow. So we'll figure it out. But yeah, I didn't know either. They say, I think I'm going to try to get some of the disposable pie plates and cut a hole in the center and put it around the tree upside down. And then that should maybe keep the squirrels from being able to go up the tree anymore. We'll see. I'll keep you updated.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Good afternoon, Abigail. Happy to see you here. Good morning, Jill. Good morning, Felipe. Good morning, Cindy. Happy to see you here. Beautiful poem you read for us on Thursday. Beautiful. Would you like to ask a question? Does anyone have a question? Felipe, Jill, Abigail?
Eti.
Yes.
Not exactly a question, but I was just thinking about the Philon. I was reading just some passages about him, and I was curious about the context in Philo's life. I mean, he lived in Alexandria, and I guess it was an Hellenistic context that they lived there. And I was just a bit curious. I mean, it was in Egypt, and they spoke Greek, right? I mean, the Hebrews that they lived there. And I once heard, Eti, that this Greek Bible, I guess it is called Septuaginta, at least I know as this in this name, it was a very ancient one. And I was curious about this relation between Greek and Hebrew. I don't know if you have anything to say about this.
Relation between the languages. There are many, many borrowed words between the cultures, yes? And if you look at, and if you wonder why in Egypt they spoke Greek, can you just turn, how do you say, the headset on? Yes, thank you. Otherwise, there's an echo also. If it is possible. Thank you. So, in case we were wondering how is it or how come that in Egypt people spoke Greek. So if you look at the map, you see that between Greek and Egypt, there's the Mediterranean Sea. And if you just go straight south, you meet Egypt. Yes, and the Hellenistic culture was widespread in this time. The Hellenistic Greek culture arrived also to Israel of today, Syria, Turkey of our time, Egypt, and so there was a great influence. And people, specifically from Philon's family, they were like considered to be aristocrats, yes, high culture. So they spoke, he spoke several languages. He spoke Hebrew, Greek, Latin, as far as we know. And yes, there's all the time there was like intersection between the cultures, all the time. And there are like, for instance, we say academia. What do we mean when we say academia in English or academy? What does it mean? How does it resonate to you? As just an example, the word academy. What does it mean to you? Study our condition here. Okay, college, university. Very well. But what happens in college or university? What happens? Academia, college, university, yes, education, yes. Yes. So the word academia comes from Kadmon. Kadmon is ancient. And Kadmon or Kadmos, yes, was the one moving from Phoenicia, moving towards Greece and teaching the local people the letters. So it means ancient, close to the source. Yes, so in Vayner book, we shall find this name Kadmos. Kadmos, ancient, from Adam Kadmon. In Hebrew we say Kadmon. You can hear in the sound Kadmon is ancient, and Kadmos taught the Greek the letters or the language. Yes, Cindy, I heard the Greeks who are very logical. Yes, yes. Yeah, the Greek, in part of the time, they say that everything could be seen. Everything could be seen. Not everything could be seen in the eyes. Not everything can be processed. Not everything. And this is, in a way, the difference. Because there's the being. The being is, in a way, not seen, but is here all the time. And this is the difference, and the clash came when the Greek culture, you know, if we want to speak about it like in terms of history, the Greek just move south and arrive, yes, and they meet the Hebrew people, which their culture was the culture of being, yes, living with the seasons, not everything can be measured, not everything can be exhibit, yes. And there was a clash. There was a clash. Felipe, what would you like to ask about Philon? When you were reading about him and you ask about the Septuagint, the translation of the 70, the translation of the Bible to Greek, In Hebrew, they call it the translation of the 70. Why do they call it translation of the 70? There's like the Hebrew or the being, and then the 70, the way of manifestation. So the translation, because the Bible is the book of being. Once you translate it to any other languages, you bring it to the tree, to the level of the tree of knowledge, to the level of manifestation. Therefore, the first translation from Hebrew to Greek calls in Hebrew Targum HaShivim, the translation of the 70 nations of the world, or the manifestation. And in Latin, yes, Septum, Sheva, seven. Yes, this is how it is. Yes, Vulgata. Yes, Vulgata. So, what was the question, Felipe, about the intersection between the languages, the intersection between the culture? What was the question? Philon wrote his books in Greek.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes.
Yeah. I was just thinking you already answered. Philon was writing in Greek, and I was just really wondering about this moment, because there are, as it was mentioned, I guess the point I could be pointing this relation between the rational mind, let's say, the philosophia, and this approach of the Bible, the Hebrew, mystical approach of life, because it's more open, it's more out of control, and it's a beautiful dance, Eti, that it must have been a beautiful moment to see these relations, to be present, because I feel that in our, let's say, our Eastern culture, we only give values in this rational approach, mm-hmm. that was, you know, became because of this philosophy, this development of science.
Mm-hmm.
And little by little, I guess, we feel the need of letting go the control. We feel mm-hmm. the need. It's something that I feel humanity is needing. It's not possible anymore to be eluded that we can't control everything. It's, you know, and I like history. You know, it. I like in an imaginative way. Mm-hmm. I like to imagine how was this amazing characters that were, you know, thinking and bringing so interesting discussions that are reaching us today. And I was reading about Philon because he was one of few, let's say, writers that wrote about the Essenes, and I have an interesting about this theme, the Essenes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's correct, the term.
Yes. Yes.
And I was just popping.
Yes, it's interesting because for many times that I was reading his writings, I had this impression that he writes the truth, but the way he speaks is with a lot of vein. So, and I was researching about it because you can say the truth without vanity. And it seems that because he was speaking Greek and writing Greek, so this is, was the way to speak out the, like you say, philosophia, argument, logos, debating. So it's like a counter, it's like, how do you say, in a way, it's a show, yes? When you speak at a market and you speak about something, everybody, this is a stage. So everything has to be presented like on a stage. Also, the speech is built in this way, because when you read the books, and we have seven of them here, you hear this, not just the wisdom, but you hear the sound of the music in which he says the truth. And all the time I ask myself, but why does he speak in such a tone? Because you can say the truth, not dry, but without this tone of presenting it, like you speak from a speaker, a loudspeaker. But this was the way people spoke up in this time. There is no internet, there is no TV or radio, and if you stand or meet someone, let's say, there were synagogues or assembly place in Egypt, in Alexandria, when people met. So everything has to be seen, because you cannot record. Same we find in the story of Joseph. Thomas Mann understands it, and he builds the story in a way that everything, how he built Joseph in Egypt, how he described Pharaoh. This is, you have to speak up. You have, everything is to be seen. Everything has to be measured. This is how it is. Science, as we know it today, starts where? In Egypt. Goes up to Greece and then goes west, left, if you look at the direction. Yes? Science starts in Egypt. Everything can be... There is a museum here in Haifa University, Hecht Museum. And once we posted pictures from there, they, in Egypt, they already knew what cancer is. It's a very ancient disease. And they operated on it to cut and remove the tumor. So they had this. It started from there. Science, everything I know, everything I measure. Yes? So there was a clash, because when the Hebrew meets the Egyptian, or let's say the Greek culture, or later the Roman, even the Persian and the Babylonian, because before Egypt we have this Babylonian soul and the Persian, not everything is counted. You cannot calculate. The Persian culture is to calculate and measure. Everything can be calculated and measured. Paras, to slice. Madai, to measure. Mida. Not everything is to slice and to measure. So you find this way of thinking from, let's say, from Persia and Babylon. And then you find this is, so to speak, from the east side. And you find the same manner from Greece, or the Greek culture, the Roman, the Egyptian. Not everything is to calculate and to be measured. Not everything is to be seen. Because they never take into consideration the source or the nomenon. Yes. No one can take into consideration and perceive the next moment. No one. Not human, not animal, not plant. What will be the next moment? How it will come? What kind of air will stream? What temperature? What kind of thoughts we shall be washed? Yes? We tend to believe, this is it. Man tends to believe Let's I will ask you just like that. Do you believe or do you think that you are the generator of your thoughts? Abigail, Jill, Felipe, Cindy, do you believe that you are the generator of your thoughts? This is an open question. Felipe, you can also answer. Everybody can unmute and answer. Do you believe, yes, that you, less and less, yes? Yes. Less and less, Felipe says. Jill says, I'm learning that I'm not. Cindy says, not. Yes. Yes. So, if we are not the generators of our thoughts, we are not the generators of our feelings. We are not the generators of our moods. We are not the generators of our emotions. So what does this leave us with? If we are not the generators of thoughts, of emotions, of sentiments, of moods, of feeling, so what happens here? We are like flutes. And when comes the blows, the air comes inside or so, like there's a certain music which is being played. Certain kinds of thoughts, emotions, sentiments, memory. But we are not generating the thoughts, the memories, the sentiments, the emotions. We're not. It just moves through. It's just a ripple on water, if you would like to look at it. Or just a blow of air in the flute. And then the flute comes different kinds of music from the flute. In this case, we are the flute. We are incapable of generating thoughts. We are incapable of generating emotions. We are. We aren't. Yes? We're not. So if we are not capable of generating thoughts, emotions, sentiments, we are not. We are just something moves, being reflected and moves through us. So why, the question is, to get upset from what comes as a broadcast at the moment? What happens if you open the TV or internet site or radio channel and you don't like it? What do you do? What do you do? You enter the car, you click, let's say, on the turn it, yes, yes, change it, turn it off, yes, you move, yeah, to another site, you move to another radio station, you move to another channel on TV. Yeah, you don't get excited. You don't think that you generate this TV show, that you don't say, I generate it, and, you know, it's, no, it just, okay, it doesn't feel like, it doesn't resonate, speak to you. So you move on, or close, or take a walk, or something. In the same manner with the thoughts, which are moving through us, we did not generate the thoughts. We are not the generators of thoughts, of feelings, of emotions, of memories, of sentiments. It's just something that moves, like water, they move in the river. So therefore, why should we get upset if, let's say, it's a gray thought or it's a pink thought? You know, not just this is what moves at the moment, but this is not the source. We think if someone has a sad memory or sad moment, he thinks this is me. Let's say John, something gray crosses his mind and he says, this is me, now I'm upset. No, if John identifies himself with a thought, he will feel upset and then he will judge. First he will feel upset because he has a mood. Then he will judge himself second, and then he will struggle inside of himself. But if there isn't any identification with what is happening, so there is no problem. There is only streaming. Pink, blue, red, white, gold, silver, light blue, purple. It doesn't matter. This is just a streaming. It's not personal. It's not against me or us. And it's not pro. It just streams. Yes, yes, this is it, Abigail. So it means that we let it flow, whatever. Because it's not personal. Think about it. Now we hear a few people in the session. There are 8 billion people on a planet. If you take, let's say, babies, because they're still babies, they don't have the process. But take just this, let's say, example, 8 billion people. Through them, infinite consciousness is moving. And one, yes, feels he needs to walk or he is walking. Another one is drinking. If you could have a camera now and see how many people on the planet drinking. There is no drinker. Drinking, yes, as a verb. Drinking, eating, walking, cycling on bike. It's not a personal action. If you now visit Japan and you see, yes, we're tourists or visitors, we're visiting Japan, and you see people cycling on a bike, you will see, okay. Also in our country, people cycling on a bike, and also in Japan, there's just cycling. Since we are not degenerators, we are not in charge also of what is coming in the river. Gray day, sunny day, happy day, moody day, whatever moves, moves. And it doesn't move only through one living soul. It moves through everyone. People just don't speak about it. Or they're not aware that this is not their own mood or so. So therefore, there is no need to be upset. You have a dull moment, you have a green moment, just browse, move on, turn the radio, listen to, move on. It's not personal. The world is not working against me or us. There aren't any two me and the world. There aren't. So what moves now in the world is moving through all of us. And us is just waves of the ocean. We are part of the ocean. There aren't separated waves. The wave is not separated of the ocean. The wave is the ocean. We are the world. There isn't world in Felipe, world in Abigail, world in Cindy, world in Jill. There isn't. There isn't. The illusion that there is, because the eyes are sending this information, I see a tree, let's say, and there's like two. There's a seer, and what is reflected, the seeing tree. So this is the deception of the eyes. But there isn't any separation, and no one wants to do you harm. This is just life. And the thought which is crossing you at the moment, or sentiment, it's not personal. It's just something that moves, something that flows in the river of consciousness. Yes? In the river of consciousness. There's just a flow. people get many time upset because everything is like cognitive, countable, let's say. You mentioned the Greek culture. People say, let's say, now it's 8, let's say, inventing. So according to the cognitive, it's 8 o'clock, let's say, children go to school. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. All of this is a mask. Because people, what do? They measure themselves against something, against concept. Because time is a concept. It makes people sad. But what says the infinite? There is no time. The only time that there is now. And now the word in English now also holds the letters N-O, meaning there is no time. Do you understand? People also say, at the age, I used to have a friend, a religious one. She came from a family of 5 children. And we met in university, and her aim was to reach the age of 30 or 29. This was her aim. To reach the age of 29 and have 5 children. You see? So how does a person like this go in the world? He is 21. He puts himself on this box. Imagine what pressure is it to be 21, you're not yet married, and you already have a completely building in your head to get married and to have 5 children. It's not easy to be pregnant once to deliver a living soul, but 5 times between 21 and 29. Yes, Felipe.
I don't know if it is a lore or a story about if we saw the total amount of food that one would eat along all his life, we would be horrified.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems that there is this anxious anxiety about all the achievements one should do in life, you know, all that you has to do and everything that you has to be, you know, positions, status, work, family, everything. And mm-hmm. it seems like that we are in front of this huge amount of useless, you know, and illusional things, and we feel that we have to take it all at once, and it sounded a bit like this when you told about this example, this experience.
Yes, you're so right. Weinreb describes this very well in his book. He says that if you would have shown someone what he's gonna eat and drink all of his life and the spaces that he will move, furniture, libraries, all kinds of things come with life, no one could stomach it at once. This is why we have the matrix of time. You cannot feed one person in one meal the food of 10 years. It's impossible. Therefore, we have it little by little, day by day, hour by the hour, drinking, eating, washing, everything in its time. when people, yes, like the manna, this is a very beautiful moment. They leave Egypt and then they, yes, the manna, everything in its time, fruit in its season. Otherwise is what is the relation of ownership. Fruit in its season, this is being. Being with the fruit in the season. But wanting to have everything is just relation of ownership. And then we have it again. There's an owner, subject and object. And people go with those plans, grand plans about life they want to have, they want to become, because this is the rational. They just copy something mechanically and they see on TV series and they want to be like it. It doesn't happen. And they're upset. Why it doesn't happen? We can ask why. Because inside of each and every one, there's infinite consciousness. It comes from innocence. It's always like we say, virgin, innocence, zero, emptiness. And when it wants to be manifested, it will arrive. And it has nothing to do with the cognitive thinking. Do we understand that? What comes from the infinite, from the source, in the moment, in innocence, this is the source of life. This is how infinite consciousness wants to manifest itself in the moment. This is naive, it's innocent, it's pure, it's beautiful. Yes, but when people go with this manifesto, 4 children, 5 houses, 10 horses, this is the mechanical activity of the brain. And they tend to believe, we many times tend to believe that this is the truth, because what is written, my plan ABCD on page, this is life, this is not, this is artificial making. And when people look at this list, they become very sad because they measure themselves against their target, against their goal. And it's an artificial one. It's not real. It comes from the machine. It comes from this spider web. Yes? It doesn't come from the innocence. It doesn't come from nothing. It comes from something. Yes? Of a making. So people are many times have struggles with their life because they think that life has to be A, B, C, D, college, marriage, and this is how it is. You can figure, lay back on your armchair. It doesn't happen because, and many, many times people find themselves bitter because it doesn't happen. Why it doesn't happen? Because from the source, it does not stream. It doesn't supposed to happen. What comes is to come as innocent, from emptiness, from nothing. And it's alive. What is coming from thinking is already dead. And also makes people bitter and upset and makes people, struggle and suffer. There's a beautiful conversation with Ramesh, great teacher from India. There are recorded conversations of his. And in one of them he says, if you live with the source every moment, you don't experience separation, sadness, whatever. And whatever comes in the moment, you accept it as the will of God or cosmic law, as he puts it. You never feel the separation. You never feel upset. Because upset, the feeling of being upset comes from the sense of separation. It's a false sense. Yes. But this is where the bitterness comes, the struggle, the grudge, sense of separation. And he says in his conversation at home, he would like to be with the source. And in order to be with the source, source is being or innocence, many names, yes? To accept what comes in the moment as the will of God. Because once, and there is no separation. It can be pleasure, pain, or whatever happens. But when we try with the brain to say it should not have happened, it should have been different, there's already a separation. There's already a valley. Yes? Accept what happens in the moment. Just in before class, I made coffee, yeah. And there's like coffee, and there was no space for the capsules, so I pulled the tray to empty it, that it will be space for the new one. And I just turned, and all the tray with the coffee, with the capsules, just, how do you say, swing in the air, flew, all the coffee flew upon the cabinet, upon the wall, upon the floor, upon the carpet, upon my shirt. Just a split of a second. Split of a second. Everything. If you had to direct a scene for a movie, it would not be taken in one go like it happened like that. Everything, everything. So I just cleaned it. I served the coffee on the table in the living room. I went to, of course, clean everything. I served the coffee on the table with ice because it's, how do you say, warm, very hot. Immediately went to change everything without a word. So, and it is interesting because usually when something like this happens, I say, wow, how could it be? I just move. And because I didn't want to, it was so hot and people are tired and not to, I don't know. It was not a calculated decision. I just clean everything, serve the coffee, disappeared and changed everything, all what I was dressing, because it was gone. Maybe it will come in the laundry. I don't know. Just happens. You know, it just happens. And there is no separation. But where the separation comes, when the brain shuffles the sentence, it should have been different. Cold, warm, rainy day, sunny day, autumn day, winter day. Just accept in simplicity. When accepting in simplicity, it means one thing. First of all, there's being, and there's a space inside to accept what is happening. You don't struggle, because once you reject it, it means that there are two. Accept. Because not accepting comes from, how could it happen to me? How could it happen to me? It just happens. There's no me. There's only emptiness inside. So everything can happen. Summer, winter, fall, snow. Bird fly, dolphin swims. There's nothing personal in this life. Nothing is personal. And that's the beauty of it. This is such a relieving message. You don't have to go with this armor of 10,000 tons around your back, around all of you, carrying this story, the fact, if I will not calculate one moment, I will be poor of the poorest. No, if you will not calculate one moment, you'll be free. What a relief. Yes. Yes. We are not the director of this movie called life. So why do we get upset? We are not the directors. We did not write the script. We are not directing it. So what there is? This is the movie of life. Today it's hot. Tomorrow it's cold. This is it. Yeah. It moves faster than we think. While we speak, the earth is turning. Everything is moving, we just don't notice. So with this beautiful message, I would like to wish you a very good Shabbat, beautiful weekend, beautiful week to come, and hope to see you here soon on Monday. Toda, shalom, ulitraot.